This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Scorecard.
Many doubted we'd ever see it.
Where we focus on Chicagoland and national golf news.
And here it is. The return to glory.
Can't help but think of the long one he made in San Diego to pick up his first PGA Tour win in style. Here it comes. Here it
watch out!
Comes!
And there's no doubt about it. The bear has come out of hibernation.
With your hosts, Score golf expert and editor of Chicago District Golfer magazine, Barry Cronin.
Well, here it comes.
Oh my goodness.
And Mike Esposito.
In your life have you seen anything like that?
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about in?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
And good morning and welcome in, everybody. Happy Saturday morning to you. This is The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. I'm Mike Esposito alongside my partner, Mr. Barry Cronin. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Mike. How's it going?
It's going good. I mean, I didn't almost shoot a 59 yesterday, but I think everything is going well.
Well, Mike, I know that you've been on the Cubs lately and doing some pre and post and that, and I was hoping that maybe last night you weren't on the Cubs post game because it was about 10 o'clock in the bottom of the fifth.
Yes. No, I was not on the Cubs yesterday. It's been super fun filling in when either Pat or Ron had time off, and I will be doing again one more next week. But yeah, it was not. Last night was not the quick and tidy game that you're looking for. If you're looking for that with baseball, it was a football 17-13 score. And yeah, no, the wow. The White Sox what and the Cubs.
Yeah, that's great. So they must have both had position players in there at the end, including the Sox, to give up 13. So anyway, we won't get into that, but it's more of a hit-and-run type of thing.
Yes, exactly. And an Inside the Clubhouse later today at 9, we will be talking about that for sure. But no, how about one of our favorites, a guy we love to discuss, whether we like him or don't like him fan-wise. Almost shot a 59 yesterday at the BMW out there in Baltimore.
Pretty amazing, Mike. Bryson DeChambeau was on the... Listen to this. He had made 16 of 16 putts inside 12 and a half feet. Think about that. Through 17 holes. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because what we've learned on the scorecard this year is that from 8 feet... 50% of the tour players make it on average, and 50% miss.
Yep.
16 of 16 from inside 12 and a half feet. Before he got to the 18th hole, he was 6 feet, 3 inches away from 59, the glorious number 59, and he missed it. And I thought, wow, that looks like me with a pressure putt. So there.
Yeah.
Let's hope he doesn't have that length to win the Ryder Cup for the U.S. up at Whistling Straits in about a month.
Yeah, No,
but anyway, he did shoot 60, Mike, and that's an unbelievable score. 12 under par. He was on a par 72. So 12 under is a great score, and he is leading the golf tournament now. He's at 16 under par, one shot ahead of Patrick Cantlay, and one shot ahead of John Rahm, who was on the 15th hole. He was on the 16th hole when darkness came, and he decided not to putt out on the 16th green, and is going to come back this morning.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's it's quite a tournament out there at the BMW Championship at Caves Valley Golf Club in right outside Baltimore.
Yeah. So the 60 and Cantlay shot a 63, which normally we'd be marveling right. over, but he just happened to do it on the day that DeChambeau shot a 60. So
yeah, and exactly. As you said,
and I am no mathematician here, Barry, but I know 16 out of 16, 100% until that final hole, which naturally is the one that, you know, everyone's going to talk about because that was the one going for the 59. But you miss one of 17. That's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. And he just played great. But, you know, and let's just say the golf course, Caves Valley, I've been out there, and it is a massive piece of property, very hilly, mm-hmm. ups and downs. But, you know, they've had a lot of rain out there, and the golf course is a Tom Fazio course. So what that means is Fazio basically builds golf courses so that the average player doesn't leave the course hating golf. So, which means he makes pretty wide fairways and pretty large greens, not super undulating, just so the average person can play golf and enjoy it. So mm-hmm. when these pro, and what happened is they've had a lot of moisture out there. They've had some rain. It's 90 some degrees, it's hot and humid, just like we've had here, for the last 2 weeks. It just could be quite miserable. But the point is, when you have wide fairways and big greens and humidity, the boys can hit the ball as far as they want. They know that it's when it hits the ground, it's going to stop. It's not going to roll off the fairway into the rough. So that, in effect, that widens the fairways and enlarges the greens for the greatest players in the world. So in a way, this becomes kind of a putting contest. And you have the top five players in putting, strokes gained putting at the top of the leaderboard. So it's become a putting contest, and it's fun to watch. But man, the scores are low. I mean, 16 under, and it's remarkable. What's really remarkable is that Colin Morikawa is actually 3 over par after 2 rounds. He's 19 strokes behind his Ryder Cup teammate Bryson DeChambeau. So that's a little bit concerning. Morikawa hasn't been playing great. So, yeah. So that's the big story coming into this week. And of course, the U.S. ladies amateurs are playing right now for the Curtis Cup over in Wales. They're ahead in the final match, and look like they're going to wrap that up against Great Britain and Ireland. So, go U.S.
Absolutely, and we will keep our eyes on that over there. And taking a look at the rest of our BMW leaderboard, and you mentioned, so Rahm is tied for second, but he is still technically playing his second round, right? He has 3 more holes to go.
Correct.
So one shot with 3 holes to go. I'm going to guess that our buddy Mr. Rahm can play one of those 3 under par, if not more, and... after shooting a 64 in round one, he was 7 under yesterday. So we'll see how he finishes out. But whatever, we won't count that against DeChambeau's wonderful round yesterday and the fact that he leads. And then you have so that group is up at the top, a few shots behind Cantlay and Rahm is a group of 2 golfers, including old friend Sergio Garcia, who is apparently found his putter all of a sudden.
Yeah, Sergio. Well, I think Sergio probably is finding fairways and greens, so that's good for him. He's a great player, but I think Sergio might also have found a little motivation. Currently, he's not automatically on the European Ryder Cup team, So as we've said last week, the subtext for all these playoffs, this year's FedEx Cup playoffs, is Ryder Cup qualification. So if he's going to get on the team, Sergio Garcia, who's been a Ryder Cup stalwart, a great Ryder Cup player,
he's going to have to get
a captain's pick. You know, you would think that he would just be based on his record, but I think he's trying to prove out this week that he deserves one.
Yeah. This segment brought to you by Illinois PGA Professionals, experts in the business and game of golf. I thought that too with Garcia, because he's so up and down, hit or miss, to me anyway, is Garcia. And I'm thinking that because as we've been talking about the U.S. Ryder Cup team, and the next guy I want to talk about too here, based on his win at Northern Trust last week, Tony Finau, has he played himself onto the U.S. team? He's currently sick. So anyway, we'll get to him, but I'm thinking, I'm like, hey, Garcia, that is a European Ryder Cup possibility there, and a countryman of Jon Rahm, and you gotta figure, at least I figure, that a guy like Garcia is a good possibility for that, based on his history.
Well, based on his history, yeah. But, you know, the problem with Garcia is that ever since he won the Masters a few years ago, it's almost like the winds are out of the sail. He had never won a major. He comes so close in majors in prior years during his whole career. We remember him at the PGA at Medina when he scissor kicked up the fairway of the 16th hole up the hill and basically had his eyes closed when he hit his shot from the base of the tree on 16 in the right side of the fairway. And kind of was, he and Tiger were kind of going back and forth. But he kind of seemed like when he won that Masters, he kind of breathed, you know, he breathed out. After he exhaled, exactly. And he really, you know, he's kind of lacked motivation. You know, he and his wife had a baby, or she had the baby, and he gets to be the dad. I love it when people say he's pregnant. Anyway, so he's not played great the last few years, and but you know, when the Ryder Cup comes around, that's something that the European team, European members really value, and nobody values it more than Sergio Garcia. I mean, he's in the tradition of Seve Ballesteros. He sees what his countryman Jon Rahm is doing. John's such a great player, and he'll be the emotional leader of that Ryder Cup team, which comes to Whistling Straits in September. Mm-hmm. So he's got a lot of motivation. And then you look at McIlroy, who's just a few strokes behind. He's a 10 under par. He shot 64 on the opening day, and everybody was saying, oh, Rory's back. And then, you know, yesterday he shot 2 under 70, same conditions. The fairways are just as wide, greens just as soft and big. Yeah. But he shot 2 under 70. Now, you know, we sort of say, well, you know, we turn up our nose at that. I mean, it's a great score, but, you know, he should be probably playing a little bit better.
Yeah. No, and you know what? It's not wrong when most of the field is in the 60s, which if you look at yesterday's scores, most of the field was in the 60s, and DeChambeau,
right.
You know, the best score of the day almost played into the 50s. That 70 is not good. I mean, you mentioned Morikawa shot a 75 yesterday, which is generally not going to get you anywhere, but in a day like yesterday, that's what gets you in last place in the tournament.
Well,
which
right.
He literally is. He's in last place.
Right. Well, three over in a you know, I mean, I will just tell you that if this was a 156 man regular PGA Tour event, three over does not make the cut. And
right.
So he'd have been back at the driving range at home trying to figure out what in the world is wrong with Colin Morikawa, because he's had a few bad weeks in a row here. Not in good form at this point going into the Ryder Cup. That means nothing, of course, because these guys
Correct.
Are so great that they can turn it around. And who knows, maybe he's getting tired or lacks motivation, et cetera. You know. It's just the way it is, man.
Well, listen, and we've talked about this. In a tournament here where there's only six players of the 69 guys playing over par for the first two rounds, Morikawa is one of them, and he is dead last right now. But, you know, you see this all the time, and we'll talk about it next segment, but you definitely saw it with Spieth. I saw a thing earlier this week. McIlroy said, hey, you know, maybe I've played too much golf. I need to take a little bit of a break here, right, with everything heading into the Ryder Cup. It's as much of a mental game as it is getting out there and actually hitting your shots.
Right, exactly. I mean, you're right. And look at Spieth. I mean, Spieth shot so far 71-70, 3 under par, and very sort of ordinary T46. He knows he's not going to win the $15 million pot of gold at the end of this rainbow. And, I mean, I think he's got a few lifetimes worth of money anyway. So you wonder if he's just tired and lacking motivation. I mean, our good buddy Nick Hardy, God love him, he's just earned his PGA Tour card a couple of weeks ago. And once he did, you know, he's missed a couple of cuts in a row. As Brett Packey, our guest, his instructor and our guest last week on this show, you know, mentioned. And so, you know, there's an exhaustion level. This is, not, you know, anybody, and I'm not saying that any, you play golf 2 days in a row, two or three
or four days
in a row, 1 week of your life, the average person, you know, it's very difficult to do that. It's an exhausting sport. We think of golf as, oh, you're just out there walking around, you hit the ball, and it's not like you're going over the middle to catch a pass from, well, Andy Dalton, although the pass is probably behind you if it's from Andy Dalton. But you know, so you're not running around or you're not turning a double play or whatever. So we tend to think, oh, golf, you're just out there walking around and you're stable and you're hitting the ball. And, oh, that's not exhausting in any way. Well, you know, it is.
Yeah. It's, you know what, if you're thinking as the I play once a week guy and, you know, you get out there and you're fresh and you're, you know, you're recharged and you're like, this is the greatest thing ever, do it every day and it's going to be just like going to work pretty soon, right? I mean, then that's what it becomes. It becomes, I mean, you're obviously super skilled at it. It is your profession if you're a professional golfer, obviously, but it's not like you going to play your round on Saturday morning after working another job all week, right? This is your job. Yeah. And you then have to go deal with it all week. And it's not always mentally the easiest thing. We see it in baseball. We see it in golf, too. It's very similar. Yep. This segment presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. And let me give our listeners, Barry, a bit of a preview for the show here. We have a great show for you, as always. Our Swing Thoughts segment at 6:40, we will talk to Andy Michelson. We've talked to Andy before. He's the head pro at Mistwood, and he won the Illinois PGA Championship at Ivanhoe Club this past week. So we'll be looking forward to speaking to Andy, talking about, you know, swing thoughts. We love to give free advice. We'll talk to him about preparing for a club championship like he just won, or even just a big match or playing against your friends. At 7, we will talk to John Hawkins, longtime golf writer, currently writing for The Morning Read, which if you don't get it, you should. It is a free subscription daily e-newsletter. Lots of excellent content there. We'll talk to John and talk to him about the current goings-on in the game of golf. And then at 7:40, James Pyatt will join us, the 2021 U.S. amateur who plays at Michigan State. We'll look forward to that. And talking to James at 7:40. He's Barry Cronin. I'm Mike Esposito. Again, we will have those guests coming up then. We will also talk a little when we return about last week's Northern Trust and Tony Finau, who won, and what all that means or possibly means for the Ryder Cup team for the United States. It's Mike Esposito. It is The Scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine here on 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Lady sings the blues. She's got the man.
And we are back here on the Scorecard, Barry. Presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. I wasn't ready for Lady Sings the Blues. I probably should have been.
The great Billie Holiday. She's from Baltimore, for God's sake. Site of this week's PGA Tour event, the BMW Championship, produced by the Western Golf Association. There
Absolutely.
You go.
Yeah, the music of Baltimore. And caught me a little off guard there, Adam Studzinski. So, but I like
you're
it.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I like it.
Well, you can't beat a little Billie Holiday early on a. I think, but when you listen to Billie Holiday at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, you're probably just getting home.
That's right.
Rather than waking up and listening to a golf show.
What? Right. You're either just getting home, or on this particular Saturday morning, you're in your car driving to your round. But that's what we will digress on that. We were talking about the BMW, Barry, as you mentioned, and we will talk to Andy Michelson on our swing thoughts at 6:40. Andy from Mistwood, and also won the Illinois PGA Championship this past week. But we were talking also before the break about the Ryder Cup, which is coming up in a few weeks here, and the team's still not set, still some jockeying for position. And we talked about Tony Finau last week. And then he went on, and as him being a potential player for the U.S. team, and then he went and won the Northern Trust.
Yes, quite a great time to have a great performance like that.
Right.
He went from 12th to 6th in the points, now he stands 6th, so that gives him an automatic berth onto the Ryder Cup team. So he doesn't need to be picked. So he dislodged our good buddy and gold medalist at the Olympics, Xander Schauffele. Now Xander was 6th. So Tony has played on the President's Cup before. I think maybe I'm not sure he played on a Ryder Cup team before, but anyway. So what happened because of the whole COVID thing and the weirdo schedule that we've had the last couple of years? They gave Steve Stricker 6 captain's picks instead of the normal 2 to 3, whatever they've been alternating the last several years. So he's got 6 picks. So Xander slipped down to 7th, and Spieth slipped down to 8th, and Harris English is 9th, Cantlay is 10th, and Daniel Berger is 11th. Tony, they've got to get their act together, but I think what'll happen is that Schauffele will be picked, because he's played really well all year.
He
was right there at the Masters. He won the gold medal. I mean, it was a great victory for him. He proved a lot to himself. Spieth's been playing so-so lately, but he's at least played on a number of Ryder Cup teams already, so it's a very young team. I mean, Spieth is only 27, but he's played a lot of these world matches and Walker Cup as an amateur and these type of events. So he's got to be on. Harris English, well, you know, he spit the bit a couple of weeks ago in Memphis, and you wonder, are they going to pick him? Maybe not. Patrick Cantlay is 11th. So, you know, if he could win or finish really high, he could somehow maneuver himself into that 6th spot automatically, or Stricker, I would think, would pick him. And then if, for some reason, Finau is dislodged this week by Cantlay or somebody else, we think that, Tony would get a captain's pick from Stricker. Great guy. Everybody loves him. Great in the team room, etc. Daniel Berger, maybe, maybe not. He's awfully young. Obviously a great record, etc., but in these type of events, but I'm not sure he would make it. I'm not sure how well he's playing lately.
Yeah, no, and Cantlay, who you mentioned, is playing great in this BMW tournament, the championship. He is second place. He's tied with Rahm as of right now. Yeah. So certainly, well, we'll see how he finishes the weekend, but if you're looking at performances leading into the Ryder Cup, Cantlay's BMW championship is going to work in his favor. We also should talk about Sam Burns, too. Sam still playing yesterday's round. He's one of the few guys with some he's got one hole left, but he's at 11 under, and he is playing himself. He's 64 in the first round, and he's 3 under through 17 as of the finish of yesterday.
Yeah, he's been playing great lately. I mean, he's really a stud out of LSU, really a good player. He became famous several years ago for being left off the Walker Cup team by the USGA, and he's kind of been carrying that around with him for a while, so I'm sure he'd love to make it. But again, an awfully young player. And the other thing we should mention, Mike, is that Patrick Reed, who is known as Captain America, and yeah. Anybody, and even a casual golf fan has seen Patrick Reed really leading a lot of leadership skill on the Ryder Cup team for the U.S. You know, they say, it's said that the Ryder Cup means a lot more to the Europeans than it does to the U.S. However, you can't really say that in the case of Patrick Reed. He's really a flag waving good old American guy from Texas, and God love him. Sadly, he came down with double pneumonia a couple of weeks ago, and he's been in the hospital, so he's home recovering. Of course, you know, he'd love to get there and love to play. He's currently 10th in points, so he would need a captain's pick. And I would think, you know, he hasn't played great this year, but, you know, it's like Sergio. You turn that light on at the Ryder Cup and you get the motivation going. He's got one of the greatest short games in the world, and in match play that can be pretty devastating, a guy like him. Mm-hmm. You'd think he would rally, but, you know, double pneumonia, not good.
No.
Not something you want to, it recommends itself. You might be looking for another veteran presence in a guy like Webb Simpson, who has played well. But a lot of the guys you go down the list, oh, and then we get to Phil Mickelson. So, you know, Phil is really, his game is not great. Since he won the PGA, again, an exhale factor. Mm-hmm. Where it reminds me of when Tiger won the Masters in 2019, and he just sort of limped along the whole rest of the year. He didn't do anything. It's kind of like, hey, I won my major. My right. Season's done.
Yeah.
And Phil at 50, winning a major at 50 is quite unbelievable. He wins the PGA, great event. And I think he's been he exhaled, but he would be a really good veteran presence on this team. Stricker has played with him in many Ryder Cups before, and you got to wonder, maybe he would pick him just because, you know, there's a lot of Phil love out there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there would be up at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin. And certainly I think the PGA of America wouldn't mind seeing its PGA champion on the team, but who knows? You know, that's a question. But the fact of a great short game and a little bit of a lot of a veteran presence on a very young team might get him picked. Who knows?
Yeah, no, he absolutely makes sense in the ways you just described, even if he has not been playing well of late. I would get it. I would not be opposed to having Phil on that team for, you know, the veteran leadership, the experience, and he obviously is the current PGA champion, right? So,
right.
Just don't ask him, and I was going to ask you about this, Barry, just don't ask him about shortening drivers, because then he gets very angry with you.
We saw this on
Twitter yesterday, but,
yeah.
If
yeah.
people missed it, why don't you let them know what happened?
Well, Phil responded to a rumor that the USGA is going to ban all drivers shorter than 47 inches long. And very few people, normal humans, can't play a driver that's 47 inches long, because it's just most people can't control the head of their driver at 46 or 45 and a half, which is the average driver when you go into a golf, you know, PGA Superstore. But Phil plays a 47 and a half inch driver, and it gives him extra length, and he's able to do it because he's one of the greatest players who's ever lived.
Yeah.
So he came out, and based on this rumor that the USGA is going to ban all drivers, maybe I misspoke. He's 46 inches is going to be the max length of drivers.
Right.
Both for pros and amateurs.
In other words, Phil, his 47 is out. Yes, exactly.
His 47 and a half would be out. And from my understanding is that not that many pros play anything longer than 46, because it's just too hard to control. So, this falls in the province of our buddy Mike Wan, who I refer to as our buddy because he was on our show, not because we, you know, are going out for beers together.
That's just like Stuart Sink is our buddy.
We have a
buddy on the tour. There he is.
Exactly. We have a buddy. Yeah. It just probably wouldn't apply to that many people. So you wonder, you know, what's the USGA doing on this? And I don't know. It might be something like this might be part of a package of other reforms that would happen at the top of the game, the top 500 to 1,000 or 2,000 players in the world. I mean, think about it. That's not that many people considering the number of golfers that there are in the world. So
right.
Who knows? It might just be one element of a lot of things that they're going to try to do to get distance under control at the top of the game, short of what we call, Mike, my favorite word in golf, bifurcation. Oh my God! Let's not even talk about it. You gotta be a golf geek to be talking bifurcation. But what that just means is, hey, rules for the amateurs, rules for the pros at the super top of the game, I think that's what the USGA is ultimately going to be pointing to is a ball rollback on the tour level. That's another story. So Phil was tweeting is what I think your point was, and
Phil. I found it interesting and partially amusing, right? I mean, because he went out hard on this, like, you know, he used the word pathetic in all caps about the USGA, about, you know, basically thinking about rolling back driver length. And essentially he says here, and I'll read it, because during our first golf boom in 40 years, our amateur gov body keeps trying to make it less fun. It's like, whoa, okay, Phil. I guess you're a little fired up on your Friday morning there.
Yeah, well, but you know, Phil has to know that the amateurs, they have to think about this now. Phil plays in pro-ams every Wednesday that he plays in a golf tournament. He knows how bad amateurs play golf. Even guys that are really good amateurs, single-digit handicaps. I mean, you know, when you play with them, they're great. I mean, they're great, but they're amateurs, and they can't. They probably cannot swing a 47-inch driver. Now, I could be wrong. Text us or call us and let us know. Mike is going to give you the number right now.
I do. It's 312-644-6767. And I do have the old Tech Zone up, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time and shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And Barry, we are late for a break. And we don't want to do that, because when we come back, we want to spend as much time as we can on our Swing Thoughts segment with Andy Michelson from Misswood Golf Course. We will do that next here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Just let it happen. Be the ball. Be the ball, Danny. You're not being the ball, Danny.
Well, it's kind of difficult with you talking like
that. Okay, I'm not talking. Stop talking.
And now, The Scorecard presents Swing Thoughts, some free advice from the best teachers in the game.
And it is The Scorecard. It is time for Swing Thoughts. And really quick, before we get to our special guest, we want you to log on to cdga.org/contest. Register to win a CDGA starter pack. In the pack, you get an Imperial hat, towel, and zero-friction super tube with Spectrum at balls, tees, and a universal fit glove. Everything you need for your season. Now it's time to head on out to the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. It's Andy Michelson from Mistwood, our old friend who is a friend of the show and had himself quite a week last week. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning. How you doing?
Great, Andy. Great to talk to you. Congratulations on winning the Illinois PGA Championship.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it was a really crazy week. It's still kind of surreal to think they came out on top. So it was quite a week.
And is that cup getting a workout, Andy?
not yet, but it might this weekend. We'll see.
Wow, you're holding off till the weekend.
Yeah, it's sitting in our performance center. So, it was hot. I was tired. It was draining for a week. So, we'll probably give it a little workout this weekend.
Well, good. You won out at Ivanhoe Club out there. I guess it's called Mundelein. I think it is. Former site of the Rust-Oleum Championship on the Korn Ferry Tour. So that was it's a really good golf course. It's no slouch. And you came from behind, didn't you?
Yeah, it's a pretty strong test. I mean, it's one of those courses that you really can't fall asleep on any particular hole. It's every single shot matters. It's such a hard golf course, so demanding on every single shot. I was fortunate enough to find myself in the lead pretty quickly there in the third round, and just kind of kept plotting along and hitting fairways, hitting a lot of greens. And, as guys were going backwards, I just kept kind of going forward, making a lot of pars, and just kind of stuck to my game.
71, 71, 71 for the 54 holes, 3 under total. And, congratulations. Good for you. I don't know how you managed to play out there. It was so friggin' hot. And, I played at Mistwood the other day.
Yeah,
and that was so great, such a great golf course. But honestly, my excuse for playing horrifically again, defiling yet another golf course in the Chicago area, is that the club is slipping out of my hands. So I don't know how you held on to that sucker for 3 straight days.
Yeah, I just basically had a towel nearby. I'm always wetting my grips, drying my grips. That's definitely the most important part. I mean, outside of hydrating yourself, most important part is making sure that the grips stay dry. Just making sure you have a nice clean towel and keeping the grips dry the entire time, because it doesn't take much to just build up a little sweat and a little oil on your hands, and the club goes sideways, and then you hit a shot that you didn't intend.
Andy Michelson is our guest from Mistwood, also the winner of the Illinois PGA Championship just a few days ago. And you mentioned after the win, Andy, and I saw this, and I chuckled to myself, because I've done this long enough to know that, the old take it one day at a time thing is the first and last thing you're going to hear as you enter and exit any locker room. But you literally said that, and I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying, but yeah, when you're doing that as you're playing, like you said, your quote here, that, and I have it in front of me, which is why it made me think of it, is that you truly did take it one shot at a time. In other words, forget the cliche. I really did this, and it actually worked for me.
Yeah, and that's the way you've got to approach big events like that. If you start thinking ahead or projecting ahead, or one of the reasons why I think that's so important too is everyone, when they're playing a golf course, whether it's for a championship like that or just even kind of in your general Saturday tee game, there's always those few holes that you kind of fear before going into a round. And so what it does for me is the only thing that you can control is literally the shot in front of you. The shot that you hit before, you can't control, and the shot that you may hit in the future, you can't control. So, I'm pretty emotional on the golf course. I show my emotions quite a bit, and it's because I'm putting so much into kind of every single shot, making sure that I'm putting my full concentration and the most into each and every shot. So, yeah, it's the ultimate golf cliche, but it's really something that I do literally try to do every single round that I play, and a lot of that comes with just good preparation. I'm constantly in my head or on the range thinking of the shots that I'm going to hit in the rounds coming up, just to best prepare me to feel kind of the right emotions when I'm actually playing those shots in the round.
So Andy, when you're on, and I think this might even apply to the average person, when you're on the driving range before a big event like yours, or maybe the average person is just on the driving range getting ready to go play a 18 hole round. And maybe that person on the driving range says, boy, there's certain holes out here that I just have to play okay so that I don't make double or triple or some bad, really bad score to ruin my round. Is it a good idea to go over, you know, you probably stand on the range and play all 18 holes in your mind, but mm-hmm. maybe for the average player, just maybe play the really tough holes in your mind, or maybe all 18. I don't know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, when I'm on the range, I think of particular shots that I'm definitely going to hit on the golf course. I mean, that's part of the thing. You hear it all the time, you know, when you're watching like PGA Tour telecasts, and back in the day when Phil and Bones would talk a lot, you'd hear Bones say something like, hey, Phil, give me that 8-iron that you hit on Thursday on 11, and they're playing the 13th hole on Sunday. All that is just positive, you know, a positive feedback or positive mental image of the shot that he wants to hit. And if you're utilizing your range time before your round and just creating a lot of those positive mental images of how you want to hit the shot, that's going to lead into the round. I do that a lot when I'm playing in any tournament. Honestly, when I'm playing before or preparing before a round, I'm hitting a lot of the shots that I'm going to probably see on the golf course. And that's where, you know, practice rounds, you know, for bigger events too, you know, come into play, or a course that you play quite a bit, you know, think of the shots that you're actually going to hit. Just don't aimlessly kind of warm up on the range. It's important to, you know, warm up and get loose maybe in the first 10 swings, but then literally start hitting shots to certain targets as you would on a golf course.
Yeah, the mentality of actually playing a round of golf is so different than the one you have when you're practicing. And maybe Brett Packey was on the show last week and talking about putting and how to practice putting and, you know, putt, try to get it, just really putt for distance rather than so much about aiming, you know. And so you mm-hmm. do that when you're practicing, and then you go out on the golf course. You know, and for me, you know, I totally black out. I don't even do that. I didn't think about doing it. It's like you just black out. Your mentality, it's like a totally different experience. Your body feels different. Your hands feel different, you know, than mm-hmm. you do when you're just out. You know, even if you're trying to practice well, you lose that whole sense. And to me, that's what drove me mad the other day at good old Mistwood golf course. I just totally forgot until about the eighth, you know, the last few holes. I go, wait a minute, wasn't I supposed to be doing what Brett said?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, why does that happen to the average player?
Yeah, and again, it's about building a positive mental image with putting, especially. And I heard you guys talking about it earlier on the show. You know, Bryson made, what was the stat you threw out there about Bryson making so many putts inside his 12 feet?
He made, I wrote it down.
It was 16 of 16 putts under, I think it was 9 feet that you said, Barry, or 12 feet, something. I can't remember.
It was 16 of 16 inside 12 and a half feet. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Right. And so the average tour player makes about 50% from 10 feet.
From 8 feet.
So 8 feet. There you go. So, and most of the time, and I've said this before, you know, when I'm working with students, I haven't played a round of golf where in the first 4 or 5 holes, I haven't had that crucial putt from, you know, inside of 5 feet that I have to make. And so, you know, when you talk about, again, creating a positive mental image, I put a lot of my practice time and effort, especially before a round, in making sure that I'm making the predominance of my putts inside of 10 feet. So probably half of my time before I go out to the first tee is I literally find a straight putt as straight as I possibly can from 5 feet. I'll drop 3 balls and I'll probably hit 30 to 40 of those putts. Just not only seeing the ball go in the hole, getting a feel of the speed from that distance, because if you're more confident from those putts that are especially inside 8 feet, inside of 5 feet, heck, even inside of 3 feet, mm-hmm. you're going to be a better putter from the further distances because you're not as scared of actually running that ball by a little bit if you're very confident in the putts coming back. I say it to my juniors all the time that I work with. You know, if you're the best 5 foot putter in the world, like Jordan Spieth was for a time, you become the best 20 foot putter in the world because you're not afraid of running those putts by.
That's 100%. Right. Yep.
Last thing for you, Andy, and we appreciate you joining us as always here. I want to ask you too about the mentality, the mindset, like in the Illinois PGA Championship, you had a bit of a lead heading into the last few holes. What's the mindset? How did you go into those knowing, hey, listen, I got this. Just, you know, stay the course. You know, don't go crazy here, whatever. But it's not as easy as we see it not every week, but we see it very often on the PGA Tour. You've got a lead, and then all of a sudden your lead is gone.
Right. The fortunate thing was I could kind of control how much of the leaderboard that I knew and saw. You know, it's not like the PGA Tour where there's leaderboards everywhere. We had access to the leaderboards on our phones, so did all the people that were following us. But actually, I didn't really want to know until I got to the most difficult hole out there to me is the 16th hole. And my mentality was if I was within two shots of the lead, I would have hit a certain club off that tee, which would have been driver. But then once I looked and I saw I had a five-shot lead standing on that tee box, you know, I grabbed 3-iron and just made a nice confident swing. It's kind of weird. You know, I've been playing tournaments for so long. I get more comfortable in spots where, I don't know, where the pressure's on a little bit more. When I kind of don't know or I'm not sure about things, you know, that's when I don't perform as well. But I love kind of being in that spot, in that spotlight where, you know, I'm supposed to hit the right shot at the right time. It's almost it's a weird kind of calming feeling sometimes when you're in those spots.
It makes perfect sense. You see it in professional athletes all the time. If things are too out of hand either way, whether it's a blowout one way or a blowout other, or you're way up, you lose your focus or whatever, and it that makes complete sense to me. Andy Michelson, Misswood Golf Course, congrats on the Illinois PGA Championship, and thank you for joining us here on the Scorecard.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Andy.
Andy Michelson, Misswood Golf Course, on our Swing Thoughts segment. There's some really good stuff there in terms of prepping for big matches or whether it's a club championship, playing a big match with your buddies, whatever. I thought there was some excellent tips in there and how he just won the Illinois PGA Championship. We need to take a timeout. When we return here on the Scorecard, we will be joined by John Hawkins, veteran golf writer and currently writing for The Morning Read. All things current in golf, including the BMW Championship. We'll talk about that with John next when we return here on the Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.